Blog Talk Radio.
No tears in heaven, no tears in heaven, no tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness.
Revelation 21, God shall wipe all tears from our eyes when we get to heaven. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I am so glad you tuned in. And today we're continuing our series entitled Strangers Came, Invaded, and Despoiled Judah. Based on Jeremiah 51:51, which reads, "We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame have covered our faces." Here's the key portion of the text. "For strangers, the sanctuaries of the Lord's house." Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, again, we praise you. We glorify your name. We honor you. We draw near with great reverence, with great anticipation, that again, you will minister life to us. Bless us, O Lord, for we are your people. Speak to us, O God, for we desire to hear your voice. Minister unto us, O Lord, for we need your help. This we ask, this we pray, in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, again, we beseech you, we ask you, we implore you to take over this broadcast. Lead us and guide us to all truth. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, how precious you are, how you are needed, how we shall wait on you and not move until you come. Jesus' name, amen. Today we're talking about strangers are come into the sanctuaries. The phrase we're looking at today is the sanctuaries. A sanctuary is a part of a temple. Now, when we think of the word the sanctuary, when I was a little boy in the Pentecostal church, and my grandmother said to me, go get my pocketbook. It's in the sanctuary. Now, there was a lower level, like at Grace, where there were the tables and we were all eating there. And my grandmother said to me, Michael, little Michael. Maikito, my name in Spanish is Maikito, little Michael. My dad was Big Michael. She said, Maikito, go upstairs, get my purse. And she says, it's in the sanctuary where we were sitting. And I would run upstairs and go get grandma's purse. So the sanctuary was the place where people met for worship. It's where we all sit upstairs Sunday morning at Grace Church, and we have the church service. That's the sanctuary. But here in Hebrew, as in English, the word sanctuaries is plural. It doesn't mean many sanctuaries. God didn't have many sanctuaries. God only had one sanctuary. So the Hebrew word, the noun, which you transliterate the Hebrew letters into English, it's spelled this way. M-I-Q-D-A-S, mikdas. M-I-Q-D-A-S, mikdas. A mikdah is a holy room or a holy quarter. So when we think of Grace Church, not only is the sanctuary holy, but that little room called the pastor's office where the copy machine is, that's also holy. And when you go downstairs to the kitchen, that room where the kitchen is, that's holy. And that little section there where the men's bathroom is, that where there's a table there, that's holy. Every corner, every inch of that church building and every room there are many rooms at Grace Church, many rooms. All those rooms are called mikdas. They are holy quarters or holy rooms. A way to translate it is called the sacred place, a sacred place. Every place you step at 20 Center Street, every inch of that building is sacred to the Lord. It's that which has been sanctified or set apart as sacred and holy, as opposed to, if you walk down to Stewart's is secular. Stewards is common. Stewards is what we call profane. They'll do at Stewards. They cannot do at 20 Center Street. There is the sacred and there is the secular. There is the holy and there is the profane. So you can go to a restaurant and you can go to a store like Stewards, or you can go to a pizzeria, or you can go to someone's home, and what you do there, you cannot do within God's sanctuaries or God's holy rooms. The things that were stored in these sanctuaries, the things that were stored in these holy quarters, also dedicated to God and were considered holy unto the Lord. Let's read Daniel chapter 1. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and here come the Babylonians, came King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon unto Jerusalem, and he besieged it. He encircled it. And the Lord, as a result of Jehoiakim's sin, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hands. He delivered him into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar with part of the vessels of the house of God. So what did Nebuchadnezzar do? Well, as it says here in Jeremiah 51:51, Nebuchadnezzar and his troops, which are considered strangers to the Hebrews, enemies to the Hebrews, they invaded those holy rooms in the house of the Lord. And what did they take? Well, they took part of the vessels of the house of God, and he, Nebuchadnezzar, carried them into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So what were the Babylonians after? Trophies, spoils of war. Now, the reason why Nebuchadnezzar took them out of the house of God and placed them in the house of his God was to show that his God had given him the victory over the God of Israel, but that wasn't true. The Lord our God was using Nebuchadnezzar as an instrument of chastisement. Our God hadn't lost to any God. God never loses to Satan, never. Now, the fact that King Jehoiakim was delivered into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar may seem as though Nebuchadnezzar triumphed by the power of his God, but that's not the case. God hand-delivered as a means of chastisement to Judah. And so Nebuchadnezzar overreached. The strangers, as the text says, have come into the holy quarters, those holy rooms where the vessels of God for holy service were stored. So the strangers, the foreigners, the enemies, the Babylonians are coming to get their hands on God's holy things. We're going to develop this more tomorrow because there are literal vessels and there are spiritual vessels. Nebuchadnezzar took both. But for the purpose of today, we're just going to focus on Nebuchadnezzar and his strange forces taking the holy vessels, the holy utensils used in the worship of Jehovah, how Nebuchadnezzar took those and brought them back to the house of his God as trophies of victory, as so he thought. Now, let's turn to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, because now the crumbling of the Babylonian Empire has come. God is about to judge Babylon. At this time, Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar has long died. And this Belshazzar is hosting a feast of unrestrained sensuality. This is a feast. The Babylonians were known, as all the other pagan nations, they were known for unrestrained, out of control sensuality. And so now, because of this proclivity of the Babylonians, now God brings an end, a termination to the Babylonian Empire, because they thought to pollute. Remember, these enemies, these strangers, these Neo-Babylonians, they're coming to invade the church today, to take possession of the church today in order to pollute the church today. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 5. We're going to listen to an audio reading of Daniel 5 in its entirety. Here it is.
Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar, gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem.
See, now, when Nebuchadnezzar took the vessels, when he invaded and confiscated the vessels, spoiled the temple, he brought them back and he laid them before his God, and that's all he did. But his great-grandson, Belshazzar, here it says his son, but it's really his great-grandson, Belshazzar, he went a step beyond because, again, he is having a feast of unrestrained sensuality. So now he wants to take the vessels that Nebuchadnezzar put in the temple of Bel, the Babylonian god, the dragon god. He wanted to take those vessels and now use them, and by using them, pollute them. Let's see what happens.
That the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. And they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them.
You see, now, he made something that was sanctified and something that was holy. And he made it what? He made it common. He made it secular. These vessels were only supposed to be used in holy service. Well, now he's using them as regular cups and dishes to dine with. And he gives them to his princes, his wives, his concubine. I mean, everyone's putting their polluted hands on these things, which are holy unto the Lord. You see, because that's what the strangers do. Strangers do not respect the things that are of God. Strangers will come into. They will invade. They will go into the house of God, go to every corner of the house of God, grab that which is holy and pollute it. As you can see, we're developing this theme here. My brothers and sisters, the ungodly today, the new Babylonians today, they have their eyes on every church of the Lord. They are strangers to things holy. They are strangers to the Word of God. They are strangers to prayer. They are strangers to communion. They are strangers to praise and worship. When they come, they will invade, and they will take those things which are holy, you and me, and want to do what? Pollute us. By mixture, by mixing with us, they would want to pollute us as Delilah polluted Samson. Let's continue reading.
They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other.
In other words, God's divine hand crashed the party. Now the king wasn't jovial anymore, and he wasn't rejoicing anymore, and he wasn't unrestrained anymore. Now he found himself in trouble, and he knew this was a supernatural act, and he was troubled by it. And let's see what he did.
The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. the king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon,
"Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom."
Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke,
"O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation."
Then Daniel was brought in before the king.
"Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard..."
Now you see what the king says, "Are you that Daniel who my father brought captive from Judah?" Remember, when the strangers come in, they take literal vessels like the ones the king was using at this party, but also they take spiritual vessels like Daniel and the three Hebrew young men who were thrown into the fiery furnace. The enemy comes for literal vessels and spiritual vessels in hopes to contaminate both. But Daniel and his three fellow Hebrews were never contaminated, for they served the Lord with all their hearts.
"Heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now, the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation, but they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom.
Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines, have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians.
Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old.
And there you have it, saints of God. The Babylonians come. They are the strangers. They invade. What do they invade? The sanctuaries. Why? Because they're after holy vessels. Spiritual holy vessels, which is human beings, like you and I, and the vessels to be used in the house of God in the worship of the Lord. We're going to leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow because strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. We want to consider that phrase, of the Lord's house. I hope you've been blessed. I have. It's always a blessing to turn to the Word of God and consider its wonderful meanings and wonderful teachings. May you be blessed. I pray that we will see the light of tomorrow and we will be back together on this broadcast to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
And old home scenes.
Stillness. Oh.